unlocking for you into freedom, into purpose, and to soar like an eagle. I just see your life, and it's not a bad life. You're walking along. It's a nice walk. But the Lord has intended for you to soar like an eagle in the purposes of the Lord. What's your name there in the black? No, right there. No, one, two, three, third row there. So, yeah. Kevin, don't look too excited. Kevin, I'm glad I'm in New York. People laugh at that in the South. They're like, we don't know how to take him. Is he joking? Yes, I'm joking. Yeah, it's new. I grew up outside New York City, so you understand that humor. Also, with that sort of humor, you also need some deliverance as well. So, just to let you know, so sarcasm. Anyway, that's a different story. But there's an unlocking from heaven in your life, and there's a freedom. Can I put my hand on you? Okay. I'm not a trained professional, but I stayed at a Hampton Inn last night. There's an unlocking into freedom, into goodness. And the Lord wants you to step out of knowing ideas about God into experiences in God. And the Lord invites you to see and taste and see that the Lord is good in your life. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. This is funny. I saw you guys all looking down. You're like, don't pick me. I'm only allowed to say good things on a Sunday morning, so I'm joking, not really. So, what's your name? The blue. Richard? Yeah. There are some things that the Lord wants to reveal to you in this coming season. I just saw like this angelic presence, and I don't know if you journal or write, but you need to get a pencil and a journal because there's some unlocking that the Lord wants to give to you. And particularly, this will be unlocked in your life through reading the Gospels, particularly the book of John. There's some really specific things. I don't know how old you are, but there's a 10 to 15 year window of assignments and very specific things that the Lord has for your life. And now Jesus is right in front of you, and he's unlocking your ears to hear because there's a strong prophetic gift. It's supposed to be a blessing and a gift to the nations of the world. But he's also come to you to heal some brokenness in your heart in this season. There was an incident that the enemy tried to use to rob your hope and your trust in God in this season. And there's a healing in your heart that he's given you today. Yeah. Hey, do you have that slide back there? I want to refer to, and I just want to start here, just corporately, and say, I think it's the third slide from that prophetic word we've been doing. So there it is, right there. If you want to, we got into other parts of that word earlier this weekend, and so I think that your recordings will be available if you want to hear what we talked about that. But this is a part I felt impressed to the Lord to just focus on. And I want to start here and say this. I firmly believe that it is the greatest time to be alive for God's people. I'm not denying the challenges. I said a number of times this week, personally, as an American, I'm proud to be an American. And my dad escaped from Cuba in 1969. And he has lived not the American dream, the God dream, but what this country afforded him. Was not only Jesus, a new family in the Lord, but so there's so many wonderful things in this nation. And how many realize there's no perfect nation? Sometimes it's easy to criticize, but I never thought I would see some of the challenges or even very intentional steps of darkness that would seek to hurt and injure so many people in our own nation. But I realize, though, that with every challenge, there is a solution. And the solution is in God, and it is only God's people who can stand and be his witnesses. You weren't born in the wrong time. You were you're part of your life purpose. Listen to me, Hector and Linda. Part of your life purpose is to bring answers and solutions to the world around you. So thank you for the one amen. I firmly believe, not only in America, but globally, this is the greatest time to be alive for God's people. Do not believe the lie that the greatest days for God's people have left America, or the greatest days for the corporate body have left America. More people are getting saved at this time than at any other time in human history. The gospel of the kingdom is advancing as never before. Now, it'll be your choice if it advances how God wants it to advance in America. But I want to focus in on this part. And one thing I'll just say historically, I don't know if you realize this, and I have this historically verified, that George Whitefield, the famous reformer, was actually more famous than all the founding fathers put together. And George Whitefield grew up in a theatrical family, and he was, in a sense, a pioneer for his time, because preachers during his time, they stood in a box. You weren't supposed to move out of that box. And because he grew up in this theatrical thing, he didn't want to stand in the box. And he had this great oratory, apostolic voice, and I would say. And they kicked him out of churches for, if you could believe this, for preaching the message of salvation. It was very extreme then. See, when people say, "Well, church has never been so dark." No. You don't know history. It's dark when they kick you out of the only known churches for preaching salvation. It's dark when the only known church doesn't let the average person even understand what's going on, because it's in Latin and they don't want you to read the Bible. You're going to stay dumb if you never read the Bible. So you can keep people dumb if they don't ever read the Bible. So Whitefield got kicked out of churches. And so what he started in England, drew great. And the reason he went outside was because the churches kicked him out. He didn't have a problem with that. Wesley did. Wesley was like, no, you got to preach inside the church. Anyway, they were friends. So he preaches outside, comes to America, and says, "My job is done in England." And he would draw great, great crowds. And back then they didn't know slain in the spirit, but they would tell people, "Don't stand in the trees. Sit in the tree, excuse me, because you might fall down." And the power was on his message. He was friends with Thomas Jefferson. Jefferson said, "I never brought my money bag to the meetings," because still to this day, it still exists. Whitefield had an orphanage which he would raise money for at his meetings. And he goes, because after I hear Whitefield, because I give all my money, he goes, "Then I stopped bringing my money bag, and then I just went home, brought my money bag, and gave him all my money." And so I say this because I want to precede this. That's just one historical thing in America. Whitefield, 30,000 people sometimes in a field, no microphone. It was just the power of God coming out of his mouth that would draw people to the gospel message and they would get born again. He was a true New Testament evangelist besides the miracles. They did see miracles, but it wasn't documented like we would document it in later time. So this is part of this word, and this is what excites me about this word. It says, "For the Lord says, I will do an accelerated work through my people that will supersede anything I have done on the shores of America. I will strike the ground in the United States of America and cause the of previous generations and current generations to be answered." That's another thing about our responsibility. We have a responsibility to become the answer to previous generations' prayers. You can believe and trust me to come in unprecedented power and glory. This season, I will also bring a birthing and a manifestation of prophetic words from long ago. It will be a renaissance move of my spirit in the United States. It will be a move of my spirit characterized by the power of God, the glory of God, and a revelation of my Son. Focus, steadfastness, and perseverance are essential to navigating the coming season. Do not lose heart. Great will be my people's fruit and reward in this season. And the Lord says, this region of the United States will not be different. I am opening the heavens, even over this territory and even over this region. I'm opening it in the coming months and seasons, and I will open the heavens over every body and every leader and every local assembly that hears what I'm saying, that applies what I'm saying, and earnestly invites what I'm doing. For I will do an unprecedented work through my people in the United States of America. And I will release the gavel of justice and righteousness through this move of God. It will not be a move of God where you can say it was like this 2 years ago or 3 years ago or even 20 years ago. It will be a new renaissance move of my spirit. It will be marked by the beauty of the Lord. It will be marked by overwhelming glory. It will be marked by an overwhelming harvest. It will be marked by salvations. It will be marked by the LGBTQ community coming to me. It will be marked by an unprecedented glory. And those who have ears to hear and eyes to see must heed what I'm doing. And so the Lord says this morning, I'm inviting this group of people to receive and inherit that which I'm doing in the earth. So that which I would do would break beyond the ceiling, break beyond even what you thought was possible, even what you have even heard prophetically. I want to break beyond. And so the Lord says, in this season, I want it to be the season for living waters, the season of breaking beyond all limitations. Limitations you thought, limitations in your mind, limitations of what you thought possible. I want to teach you how to be a people of my presence. I want to teach you how to be people who watch and pray. I want to teach you how to be a people who know what I'm saying and apply what I'm saying. I want to teach you how to be a people of my word. I want to teach you how to be an overcoming people. I want to teach you how to be not just believers, but people who learn how to corporately govern a territory from the authority that I've given you in the purposes of God. So there is a key that I'm releasing, says the Lord. If you'll receive it, the Lord says, I'm giving you a key of wisdom, a key of understanding, and a key to break through. For the generations that will come after you will thank you if you'll say yes to the purposes of the Lord. Yeah, you can clap for that. You should clap better than that. Some of you clap better for Buffalo Bills, yeah. So there's a theme, I think, that the Lord is developing this morning. It wasn't my notes here, but the book of Acts, it says that when David had served the purposes of God for his generation, some translations said he died, some translations he went to sleep. And so every one of us, both individually but also corporately, we mentioned on, I believe, Friday night that our individual purpose is always connected to a corporate context. Jesus did not disciple the 12 that became the apostles of the Lamb outside the context of the community that they were in. But there is an individual responsibility, and then there is a corporate responsibility to fulfill and to do everything that God has called us to do. One of the great men of our time, and one of my assignments is to make sure people don't even forget, never forget him and his work that he did, was Brother Oral Roberts. And some of you know him, some of you don't, but he was a great, if all you remember him as a great healing evangelist, you'd remember forever in church history. If all you remember him was for the founding of ORU. God told them to build a university for him. And then he was also a pioneer in Christian media. They called him the Hollywood preacher because he dared bring TV cameras inside the tent. They told him, you can't do that. He said, you don't think I have enough money to do it. And so he also had a weekly national show when there was only three channels on in America. And he was known for saying, something good is going to happen to you. It wasn't the unbeliever that didn't like that. It was mostly believers who criticized that message. In the big tent, many people don't know this, the big tent when he had his healing crusades, he would preach sometimes an hour to an hour and a half. He was one of the great orators of the time. Many people don't know that, just know for the miracles. But he said, I have to put faith in people. And one of his main messages was this, how God, Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and power, and he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. You see, he got excited about that. That's true. But he said, and that's how the people would react. They would say, yes. He said, but on the stage was all the pastors and leaders. And he said, I felt like they were all putting knives in my back because they weren't quite sure if God was good. But listen to how this message resounds. Many of you have heard that before. Many of you believe that. Many of you live that. But back in that time, that was a truth that needed to be pioneered even to spirit-filled people. Because we weren't quite sure that God loved us. He sort of kind of loved us, but really wanted to zap us. That's why we got saved every week. But at the end of his life, I'm telling you his story for a reason. Very synopsis, Reader's Digest version. And this is the way you want to die. You want to die like the Apostle Paul died. I fought the fight. I finished the race. Now there lay hold a crown set before me. He was living in California at the end of his life. And he had two remaining children left. And he's singing the songs of the big tent. And so they tell his son, they said, listen, your father, you know, he needs to just, he can't be singing. There's a hospital. We need it quiet. 91, you don't tell anyone. 91, you do whatever you want at 91, you know. Let God deal with him. So his son goes, Dad, you started a hospital. You can't be doing this. Hospital. He goes, I'm not stopping. And he had his daughter, Roberta, and Richard to sing the songs with. And they missed the line. They had to start over again. It's your story. He's 91, Oral Roberts. You don't tell him what to do. You know? Yes, Dad, you know. And he said, I'm going home. He had fallen. When you're 91, you fall. You want to make sure he's okay. He said, no, Dad, you can't go home for a few days. You've fallen. He goes, no, I'm going home. The Lord told me I have finished what he's asked me to do. He went to be with the Lord within 48 hours. You don't only want to live well, you want to die well. By the way, you're not dying. You should never be afraid of dying because nobody's really, I mean, the only way you should be afraid of dying is if you're not living correctly. Hope I make it. You don't want to live that way. So we have a responsibility to coming generations to receive what God is doing. And I've learned some things about positioning yourself to receive what God is doing, both biblically and also by the Spirit of God. Let's also make this point today. If you are a believer today and you claim to be a follower of Jesus, there should be in your value system, in the foundation of your value system, there should be always a deeper desire for more. You will identify that perhaps you're being influenced by a religious spirit if there's not a deep hunger to pursue more beyond the life that you're currently experiencing in God. And we cannot certainly make an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. You can't make God do some certain things, but I've learned you can position yourself to inherit what he's doing by certain fundamental principles. One is, good question for yourself is, are you fully surrendered in every area of your life? And this is a positioning of heart. We're always, even for many years, you don't have to be perfected to live this way, but you want to have a conscious daily decision where every day you're saying, I submit myself to you. I know nothing, I am nothing, and I'm yours to command today. That's what he said. I present my body as a living sacrifice. Now, here's the other side of this that's really important to tell believers. You will never be completely delivered of the encumbrances of this world unless that is a daily, 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week choice. You will be somehow encumbered in this world system if you're not fully embracing that decision. What does God require of you, all of you? But the beautiful thing about God, he never requires anything of you without first empowering you with the gift to do it. It's like, I can't do it. No, you can. You can. But he cannot override your choice. Look at Matthew, the 6th chapter. Look at 2 different places where Jesus talked about this. Everybody okay?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm a little more preachy today. Like, hot about you. That's how I feel. I was a little calmer the last 2 days we came. I was just going to say nicer, but I'm just more straightforward this morning. Matthew, the 6th chapter. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. Do not worry about your life. So if Jesus says, do not worry, guess what it is if you worry? To sin. What you will eat or drink or about your body or what you will wear, you're like, that's really hard. I know. Everything he asked you to do is impossible without his help. Okay, no amen for that. It is not life more than food and body more than clothes. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow nor reap or any way barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying about, add a single hour to your life? So he's listing these things that are very common in our world. It's not wrong to think about, where's my family going to live? What are we going to do to pay the bills? Here's an important principle that I've learned walking with God. Walking with God, you do not seek money. In walking with God, you do not seek money. You seek to live in your purpose, and all the money you'll ever need will come when you're living in your purpose. But Americans seek money, and then they want God to bless their seeking of money. Not you, Richard, the person 8 people behind you. Sometimes, and sometimes people spiritualize why they're seeking money. See, people, not you certainly, no one in this room, they get connected to a local place, local body. They're doing well, they're flourishing, they're growing for the first time. And they're also, because they're applying biblical principles, they're seeing the favor of God in the marketplace. And suddenly, and there's nothing wrong with this if this is the will of God, but often it's not the will of God. They get a call, a company on the other side of the country. Who's going to pay them more? Who's going to advance them more? Has invited them to get a job. And they go. And they come to me. He's like, hey, we got this job offer. It's everything we ever wanted. And then we spiritualize that. And my wife can stay home with the kids. Well, I want to talk about their kids. I said, that's awesome. What has God said? What has God said? Oh, no, let me tell you about everything. They're getting all the benefits, and it's awesome. And we can live in this new community. We've already looked it up on Zillow. It's awesome. None of that stuff is bad. But if God didn't send you, and God will help you if you make a mistake, but that's a lot to unravel. Because that double in the salary, they want you to work 90 hours a week. Now you're having trouble in your marriage because you're not connecting and your family and everything's out of whack. Here's a good life principle. This is a true story. Absolutely true. God will pay you more than any other employer when you obey him. It's absolute truth. I've traveled the world for most of my adult life. And people say, have churches ever robbed you? I said, I don't know, probably. But they can never rob me, and they're not my source. Always turn it into a seed. You'll learn some stuff You know, you can have a salary and not live by faith. You can think you live by faith and not have a salary. There's a lot of people who, anyway, that's interesting. The point of that one is, make it a settled issue. And then he tells us, he gives us this instruction in here. But seek first. He goes into it. We won't go into it. We run out of time here. But seek first. He tells us, what's the only deliverance from this world system? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And what? He doesn't say these things are wrong. It's not wrong to want to make sure. Please work. Work has become very unpopular in America. I don't know what's going on with that. Like we can't find any help, you know. But seek first, not second, not if it fits your schedule, not if it works out. The people, let me give you a news flash this morning. The people who tried to come to service this morning are not here. Because they tried to come. You came. I'm not trying to be married. When I got married, August 6, 2022, I said, I'm going to try and be the best husband. No, I'm going to be the best husband. Well, if it works out, that's a classic religious thing. If it works out, then we can do it. I hope my pastor would have knocked me on the floor that day. I said, well, if it works out, I'm not trying to be a man this morning. I is a man. There are certain things God never told you to try. If it works out, if it'll be comfortable for your schedule, here's another really cool thought for you. God does not invite you into a life of convenience. The life of walking with the Lord is constant inconvenience to walk properly. But he gives you the grace to do it. It's not like, oh God, I gotta do this. No, it's like, oh, yeah, I just finished like flying home from 10 hours. I don't necessarily want to go visit this person in the hospital, but thank you for the grace to do it. Thank you for the privilege that I want to do it right now. It's quiet, brother. And his righteousness and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself each day. Now, Matthew 13, this is all teachings on the kingdom. Matthew 13. Verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And in his joy, he went and sold all that he had and bought the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he bought. Matthew 22. He seems to want to get us a message. He said it's a bunch of different ways. Matthew 22, he talks about this banquet. And it is a banquet. The Lord has a banquet for his people during this time. It is the greatest joy of your life to be fully in with the Lord. You don't actually live correctly in the new creation without that constant surrender. It is a joy to surrender. You will find the lie is that I'm going to miss out on something if I give all it. No. The greatest joy, the greatest power in this world is not the power to prophesy. It's not the power to do miracles. It's the power to surrender your life to what he asks. That's the greatest power. It's a beautiful thing. I have never regretted anything the Lord has asked me to do. So then he describes this wedding and this banquet. Won't read the whole story just for the sake of time. This is what they say, the reason they can't come. Kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for a son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to. Then they said to more servants, tell those servants to those who invited, I prepared a dinner. My oxen and fatted calf have been butchered and everything has come to the wedding. Now, I believe, this is just me. This is me. You don't find it in the scripture. I believe this was written for Americans. But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business, another to the kid's ball game. No, said in there, but what is it? He gives this example of why they did not come. Again, none of these things in and of himself are wrong. I was in college, I wrestled from time as a little boy, went all over the country wrestling. But one thing I knew is that God was first place in our home. They tell him, business is not wrong, family time is not wrong, none of that's wrong. But they're telling him the reason we can't come to the wedding is we have these things that are prioritized over this beautiful wedding that the king has invited us to. So you want to settle that issue in your life. And the beautiful thing about settling that issue in your life is you develop this habit of surrender. Habits then become these behaviors that you do often that you still have a choice to do, but unconsciously now you are just submitted that this is the way we are going to live. This is the way. And sometimes you got to repractice that. But a good way to give an example of how that would function is this. It's simply, how many remember driving? Yeah, I know my mom was praying lots when I started driving. I remember they picked me up in the driver's school, right? And I never got behind a wheel. He goes, "You're driving now." I said, "That's a dangerous thing, you know." But he's got the double ears, pedals and stuff. But he's like, "Check your mirrors. Look behind you." So I think I left my house 3:50 in the morning on Friday. I did all those things, but because I've done them all these years, I don't consciously think about doing them anymore. I've developed a habit of doing those things. So you want to develop a habit of surrender. You want to develop a habit of forgiving. You want to develop a habit of putting the Word of God first place. You want to develop a habit of having a vision for spiritual growth. And once you do, it's the baseline of how you live. I know you can tell I work out. Now you're wondering about that. I don't necessarily think about this area of my life much anymore. I just go, this is what I do. I need to move my body today. Helps me feel better. So here we go. So I just developed a habit of doing that. You want to develop a habit when a situation comes. What does the Word of God say? Don't overreact here. What has God said about this? Let me take a moment to step back and pray about this situation. Let me step a moment back and maybe hear instruction from others of what this could be. So you want to develop these habits of surrender. And then something interesting happens in Acts, the first chapter, when the original design of how God intended the church to start. Look at Acts and we'll land the plane. Everyone okay? This is Luke writing the book of Acts. I don't know if you know that, but Luke writes the book of Acts. And I want to pick this up at the end of verse 4. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father, which you have heard him speak about. For John baptized you with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Now, if you're Pentecostal or charismatic, or really like, we love that verse. But I want you to connect the context this morning for a moment. It is that Jesus tells them, I need you to wait. First of all, he gives them an impossible command. There's an impossible command, I believe, on the people of God in America. You are to be facilitators of an unprecedented move of God that I've already begun in your midst. And if you'll receive it, you will have it and you will see it in your generation. I don't say that because I need something to say. I say it because I've given my whole life to that truth. And so, but he gives instructions. So what do we want to do? We want to submit. We want to make surrender with God, both individually and corporately. That's just how we live. We're not trying to surrender. I'm not trying to tithe. I'm a tither. And people are like, we're having financial problems. My first question, are you a tither? Sometimes. That means no, I'm not sometimes a man. I'm a full-time man. So we want to develop these ways of living. And I'm not saying we're perfect. I'm not saying sometimes we don't miss a turn. There's no shame or blame for that stuff. But you want to settle that issue in your life. You want to settle the way you're going to live. You want to settle you're going to live by the word of God. You want to settle you're not going to live a sexually impure life. You want to settle. These are the boundaries by which we live because that's what God said. No shame or blame if you're out of alignment, but you are invited to change the way you think. You're invited. Why? God's not mean or cruel. He's not trying to withhold anything from you. He knows how he designed you. That's why he gave you these instructions. I want you to live a good life. I want to give you an abundant life. But it's going to be really hard if you violate the way I designed you to be made. Is that mean or cruel? Not like, ah, get him, God. You know? He's a good God. He's a good God with your best interest in heart. So he tells him, why do you see this? We know outpouring of the Holy Spirit, day of Pentecost, all that awesome stuff. But they didn't know what that was. So what do? They obeyed as much as they knew of that word. What's coming? There's an unprecedented outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Or baptism of the Holy Spirit. What's that? By the way, they're fully in. Some people think 500 started in this upper room. Now there's only 120. I don't know what happened to the other 120. But they weren't there when it happened. So the point is, they obeyed everything they knew to obey to that point. And that's what you want to do. You want to obey, both individually and corporately, everything you know up into what God asked you to do. And then you can live a life of rest. Okay, good. Doing everything God asked me to do. Most of my life, I'm very thankful as an adult. I go to bed very well every night. I've done as much as you asked me to do. Now you've got to work through. I said, you never sleep or slumber, so thank you for working on my behalf. I need to rest tonight. So they did everything they knew what to do, and then in their obedience, they positioned themselves to receive something that was unprecedented, that had never happened before. They're in an upper room. They didn't know what it was going to be, and suddenly the Holy Spirit breaks in. A sound from heaven comes in. They speak with other tongues. And it not only touches them, but it touches the city where many of the same people are like, kill Jesus. Now, Peter preaches. I love that. God uses this man who just weeks before goes, I don't know him. And in that moment, he preaches this simple sermon. But the sermon was supernatural. The original language is the same language it used that they spoke in other tongues. And it says, it cut them to the heart. Means they were like, we can't resist this message. It is so powerful. We can't resist what he's saying. And I want to say, obey corporately and individually everything that God has asked you to do. They went as far as they knew in their own obedience. And then God came in and did what only he could do and empowered them to be those group of people. Amen. So you can't like make the miracles happen, but as a people. And so corporately, you have a responsibility if you are part of this body to come in. God, we're expecting you to move. God, we're all in. We're engaged in the things that you've asked us to be part of. I don't know if you realize this, but you actually are defining the parameters of what God can do in this room. Holy Spirit comes, 3,000 people get saved. And here's the thing. The apostolic witness, and this should be the witness of every local body. They weren't the biggest group of people. They weren't even, in a sense, they didn't have this mega thing. But they were known in their city. Peter is now walking in a life that he never thought possible. It says his shadow healed the sick. It's not a shadow. There was something resting upon him. I was wondering, how close did you have to get a healing from him? And it wasn't easy. I just want to say too, there's not going to be any move of God that's culturally acceptable. Remember years ago, these guys, we're going to build a church and we're going to do Pentecost with explanation. It's good luck. They couldn't even explain the first one. Things happen. They accuse him of being drunk, all that stuff. I'm not purposely trying to be rude, but when God moves, there are going to be unexplainable things. That's not the issue, though. The issue is not if you fall, if you shake, if you laugh all afternoon. The real, where the rubber meets the road is, do you have fruit? Because the world will be interested in your life if you have godly fruit. Final verse, Acts 8, verse 8. There was great joy in the city because the believers were there. Here's another one that happens. There's a couple. People were selling stuff, you know, so they make sure everyone was okay in the church. Everybody, they're in need, so I'm going to sell this to make sure they're taken care of. This couple, they lie about the sale of that. They both die. That's New Testament. I want to say that when God comes in the intended way he wants to come, it will demand of you to be honest before the Lord. That's why some people don't want it. I just want to say, I just love Jesus. I want it. What I mean honest is it goes to deep places in your heart. There are things that I've learned about myself as I've walked with the Lord. I go, I didn't know that was there. I love you. Yeah. Yeah, I know. But this is really dysfunctional. Yeah, you really think it's... So the beauty of an outpouring of the Holy Spirit is that it confronts you in your own humanity and what God intends as your inheritance. You want to embrace that. You want to embrace that. You don't want to live your life as a deceived believer. Those are some... A number of years ago, I was working in a certain situation. It was frustrating me. And do these long meetings and nothing gets fixed. I said, Lord, I'm like worn out. I don't normally get worn out in my days. The Lord said to me, the problem here is, these people are not honest with me, so they cannot be honest with you. Be an honest person before the Lord. Don't they like, I got this little issue. No. You got something that's been hindering you all these years. You have anger, whatever it is. Whatever it is in your life, the Lord invites us in this season to be honest with you. Don't minimize him. He's not cruel. He's not. By the way, he already knows it's there. He's not like, oh, wow. Man, I didn't know. I didn't know they've been doing that, you know, that thing with the internet late at night when their wife went to bed. I didn't know. Thank God. I didn't know they were fudging on their taxes every year. Thank God. I didn't even know. Well, let's take care of it. He knows. And he's just hoping you'll be honest enough to deal with that issue in your life. He's hoping that he's not going to have to judge you for not taking care of that. So Lord, thank you today for your word. Thank you. Do you receive this word this morning?
Yeah.
If you receive this word, just lift your hands. I'm just going to ask you to pray this prayer. Say, Jesus, with your help today, I surrender myself once again as a living sacrifice. Any area of my life out of alignment with you. Show me. Thank you, Father. take a few moments. Thank you, Lord. That's all together. There's no shame, no blame. Let's just repent before the Lord. Say, Dear Jesus. Some of you could do better than that. There's something powerful when you open your mouth. By the way, the person next is not listening to you. They're worried about their own life. So, don't worry. Like, I don't know what they're going to think. They're not thinking about you. They're American. So it's okay. Say, Dear Jesus, I ask for your forgiveness. I thank you for the blood of Jesus that cleanses me from all unrighteousness. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that leads me and guides me into all truth. Father, today, in the name of Jesus, I want to live my life as a worshiper of you, of spirit and in truth. So I'm open, God, to a life of transparency and honesty with you. I want to live the life with your help, as God intended. In Jesus' name. You say amen to that? Yeah, it's good. It's good news. It's always good news. John wrote that if we confess our sins, he is faithful, just to forgive us of all sins, right? You should say amen to that. It's good news. And then I love that. He says this statement, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if he's cleansed you from all unrighteousness today, the only thing that's left is righteousness. Yeah, no shame, no guilt. You can leave this room as though you never sinned if you did that sincerely. I want to thank you for listening this morning. I've gone a little over time. I've stretched some of you, but that's okay. Before I sit down, and I want to tell you this too. I want to take opportunity this morning, and I do believe that the Lord wants to do miracles this morning. So we're going to give you an opportunity to sow into our ministry. We have a ministry that goes around the world doing what we're called to do. And I want to ask you to do something. I want to ask you to ask the Lord if or what you're supposed to sow into our ministry. If you have those slides with the different nations we're going to this year, this is what your help does. We have projects all over the world that God's called us to do. We have missionaries. We have churches in the Philippines we support. There's a wonderful church that I help oversee in the Philippines, and it's wonderful. Every Sunday they go to preach in the jails, and we help supply Bibles for that and all that. And that's what your giving helps to do, advance the gospel of the kingdom, teaching and training leaders around the world. And so I just submit that before you. And here's the other thing about this. How many need more money today? Yeah, okay. How many are lying? So it's not the only way. There's many dimensions of stewardship. I'm going to tell you, but one way you position yourself for financial increase is the sowing of a seed. Sowing of a seed. People are like, I don't want to give to get. Well, Jesus gave a son to get many sons and daughters. Let me ask you this question. People who think that. You go to work, you expect to receive a paycheck? Yeah, some people said yes. I'm not sure. I don't know what you're saying, you know. Yeah. The giving of offerings is an act of worship unto God. And you give it to him. So if he's the one asking you to give it, do you think he's going to cause you to be without? He would be unjust if he does. And he has told us, as long as the earth remains, there is seed time and harvest time. There's something interesting that happened in the book of Acts. The prophet stands up, Agabus, and goes, there's going to be a famine in the land. And I love what they do next. They receive an offer. And if you're in a tight space to debt, I'm not saying God is or telling you to do it. I'm just giving you a general principle in your life. Often, when you feel that last year we had entering in a month where I wasn't going to be traveling, there was some, you could just feel the enemy trying to squeeze certain things. And I said, it's time to sow a significant seed because I will not allow the enemy to dictate my giving by what's in our bank account. And God is always faithful. You can believe God. You can, it might not be tomorrow, might not be 3 weeks from now, but you can believe God for heart. So I'll give you one testimony. Years ago, this great prophet of the Lord was a child inside grew up in this very rural church in Arkansas. He heard this principle for the first time. So he gives all his money. He said, I'm going to believe for God for harvest. He's a little kid. And they gave like $10, gave all the money he had. It was a lot of money back then. And he's like, God, I want my harvest. It's a year, 2 years. This thing doesn't work, God. Don't ever tell God something he said was true. It doesn't work. So years later, he's working for this man named John Wimber, or he's working out of his church. He's a prophet of the Lord, travels the world. He said it was the best year financially in our ministry. And his financial administrator comes to him. He goes, we just got a check. This is, I think, mid-80s. So it was a good amount of money back then. We just got a check for $50,000. He goes, check. God, this is above. God says, I never forget a seed sown. And he reminded him of what he sowed as a kid. Don't let the enemy uproot your worship of giving. But he's going to tell you how you can do that. If you want to stay, I'll pray for everything that moves, dogs and cats. But particularly, I'm going to lean into Mark, the 16th chapter today. I've preached the word. I've done what God's asked me to do. Forgive me, I went a little over. I've done what God's asked me to do, and I'm going to believe God for miracles to take place. So thank you very much. Thanks for allowing me to be with you this weekend. I'll tell you how to do that.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah, it's really been a privilege to have you with us, and we want to give you that opportunity to give today. And there's many ways to do so. If you are one who uses Givelify, most of us who are part of the church use an online app that we are found to be very secure and very helpful. If you go into Givelify and go down into the tabs, you'll find Abner Suarez, and you'll be able to give in that way. If you're going to give something in a physical offering, Gary, the two Garys that are sitting there, would you help me? There's some offering envelopes right behind you on the table. If you're going to give something in a physical offering, these guys will come right down the aisle. They are the smaller ones that just say for such a time as this on them. This is Abner's ministry envelope. And I'm going to, if you'd like one of these, just raise